This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Attitullo.
Yeah, happy game day Monday. It's a pre-action Monday is what I've been calling it all day. Nobody has said that it's a bad thing yet, though.
No, I like it. I stole it.
I don't know. I don't know that I had
Well, you said it, and I stole it and put it on Twitter.
I'm not worried.
I gave you credit, so I guess that's not stealing.
It's attribution. You know that. You know how
right.
This works.
That's right.
But let us know. How are you feeling going into this game? Is there any possibility that you're a little or maybe even a lot nervous about tonight's game? A game, mind you, where your team is favored by a whole touchdown.
All right, so this is where it gets important to be.
On the road.
We're not talking among your Cowboys friends and we're talking trash and all that. I want you to be completely honest. Figgy. Reggie.
Ain't nobody worry about them.
Listeners.
Ain't nobody worry about them.
I want you, like, completely honest with yourself, okay? Forget the trash talk and all this other stuff. Are you a little nervous?
I am a little nervous.
Really, Phil?
Yeah, because not only, like, I'm not nervous that they're going to lose this game, but I am nervous how the offense going to look. Is it going to be 20-17 type of game? Is it going to come down to the wire? Because this game should not come down to the wire at all.
713-572-4610 or Twitch or YouTube, you can comment.
That's the 5-Hour Energy fan line.
The 5-Hour Energy fan line.
Yes, sir.
You're better at that than I am, but here in front of me, I can see it.
it's hard to forget because I always remember that 5-Hour Energy is the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610. It's football super fans. You know what I mean?
I said you're better. You don't have to rub it in.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so here's the thing. I think the fact that, and I'm with you, Figgy, I expect a win, but I feel a little
I demand a win.
I expect a win.
Sorry for you.
I expect it to be convincing. But the fact that I'm a little nervous about how this team is going to look, I think that says a lot.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the defense at all. I feel like the defense is elite. But I'm worried about the offense,
yeah.
Man. I know Nico should be playing and all that stuff, but I'm just worried. Is it going to be a struggling offense? Are we going to sit here and call for Bobby Slowick? Are we going to be sitting here talking about the O-line? I'm worried about that, and it should not be the case against this Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he said those two words, Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, that is fair, right?
That's like, what it's about.
It's about him, and it's about there would be concern if you also still have a second half. Well, how much would you be concerned if the second half doesn't look as good, especially if you still get a victory?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely still concerned.
Like you wouldn't get to a place where you're like, all right, well they just kind of let it go in the second half.
Yeah, no, because they're not in a position to let it go. Look what the Lions did yesterday. Like you know, the Lions, and they're talking trash.
That'll come up around the AFC South, but they put the Jags
and
in
they
a
said,
body bag.
Take out our starters. No, that's your job to stop us. No, and the Texans, Bobby Slowick in particular, he's not in a position to take his foot off the gas. Are you kidding me?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I think it depends how I look. If it's like 33-3 at half.
I don't care. Make it 43-3.
I won't be. Yeah.
Put some more on top. At least one touchdown.
I ain't expecting them to look like the Lions, but I wouldn't be pissed off if they did. In the fourth quarter, they did try to reserve some of these players.
Okay. Maybe fourth quarter, midway through fourth quarter, whatever. But Reggie, you can't. This is a defining game for Bobby Slowick.
Right. And I think that it's. I also have to like fully embody the guy that I was on Friday where I said not only is this a get right game, but this is the get right game. So you have to. There is a little nerves that the get right does not happen in the full way because this feels like it's perfectly situated for all of that. Right. Clyde said this game should run along the lines of the New England game. Fair enough. Somebody said they're worried that the 41.5 over won't hit. Okay, very good.
But are you a little nervous about the offense?
And that has to be the place where the nerves are, right? I think defensively and not having Will, I understand where some nerves would be there, but you still have.
But you facing the bad offense in the Dallas Cowboys,
right? But
in
you also have some other guys that step in and do those things. Maybe you have like Kamari Lassiter nerves, considering that CeeDee Lamb does this and goes all over the place. But again, we saw him and Cooper Rush not seem to have the greatest connection last week. Some of that was the sun, but you know, you wonder how much of that factors in. The nerves would have to come from the offense, if anything.
Oh, 100% is where I'm nervous with this. And I'll take it a step further with your first half, second half stuff, Figgy. I think the game doesn't really start for Bobby Slowick until the second half. I really don't.
You want to hear Bobby Slowick talk?
I would love to hear Bobby Slowick
talk. He talked on Friday as the coordinators, which was their Thursday with the SLID schedule. Slid?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, very good. I don't know words sometimes, but the schedule that's been slid forward because of the Monday night game. So their Thursday was actually our Friday, and they talked, so we didn't have an opportunity to play this audio until now, but this was him talking about the inefficiencies in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I would say really generally, I mean, I think we all know in the second half, for probably the last 5 weeks or so, we've struggled. And it's one of those things when you look at, I mean, I think we haven't scored a touchdown like 19 straight second half possessions. And honestly, like our approach is football is football. And what I mean when I say that is when we dissect it, because we've known about it for 3, 4, or 5 weeks now, when you really dive in and you're like, okay, what's going on? Is something off with the play calls? Are they doing something different? Are we doing something different? What's happening? It's football. Like, it's the exact same as it was in the first half. We're not operating and executing the same. And that's kind of been something that we've been going back and forth on as an offense, really for a couple of weeks now. And ultimately, I think it's one of those things where you keep doing the same thing and you're operating the same way, things aren't working out in your favor. And then even though there may not be necessarily a mental roadblock, it becomes a mental roadblock. And that's kind of what we're working through. And I think we're all in the right space and have the right intent and what we're going to do when we come out in the second half going forward and be on the same page.
Man, that's a problem. And the reason it's a problem is because I get what he's saying or trying to say there. He's still kind of putting it on the players. It's execution, and then it becomes a mental roadblock.
Yeah, but
and all that.
What is the thing then that stops
right,
the execution?
Right, that's why it's a problem.
Is it fatigue?
Yeah, that's exactly right. At some point, you keep saying, hey, we're not executing. It shifts from the players to you. And that's why I say, to me, tonight's game really doesn't start for this offense until the second half.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make. That's real. I was perplexed just sitting there listening to it. I wrote down, that was one of the things I wrote down, was just like, what stops it? And then also, football is football. Yeah. It's such an interesting thing because it feels like the wrong thing to say when it feels like situationally that has been the issue with Bobby Slowick's play calling, is that it can be one size fits all instead of being aware of the situations and the distinctions within certain situations and how first and second down and third downs and those different. And I'm certain that he understands that those things are not the case. I'm not saying that he is so simple. However, we have not seen the benefits of that, of a deep understanding in that. And so I know what he's trying to get to, but football is football seemed to just like kind of really jar me when he said that. So, yeah, I think there is some nerves within, like, are you going to see against this opportunity that you have against a team that, you know, does not really pose a lot of challenges? Are you going to be able to, in what feels like almost a neutral environment, not a neutral environment, but you know what I mean, like kind of a lab environment for you, work out the kinks? Because if you can't work out the kinks here, I don't know that it gets more opportunistic for you to be able to do that, well, especially once you get to Thanksgiving and Christmas and those games.
You can't get it done in the second half against the Cowboys. You got issues, and I don't think anybody's going to deny any of that. And oh, by the way, you also are out of excuses. Nico Collins is going to be back.
Ooh, but that also, if we find out that the panacea is just play Nico Collins, what does that do?
Well, that's fair. But it also, like, if it doesn't happen in the second half and you have Nico Collins back, by the way, you have Damian Pierce back. For what it's worth.
That's cool.
For what it's worth.
Look at Lopez excited about Damian Pierce.
No, I didn't say that.
Look at that. That's, you know what that is?
Damian Pierce back.
You know what that is? That's what? Growth.
No.
Yeah,
he's growing.
It's not growth. It's recognition. That,
he's like, no, boy. I have not grown.
Trust me.
I refuse to grow.
I have not grown.
You got Damian Pierce back. You got Damian Pierce back.
Trust me. I have not grown. What I am saying is they think Damian Pierce is part of the answer. Okay, well, then you're out of excuses because he is going to be back. And if that's what they think, okay, let's see it. Nico Collins, you're right. You know, if he all of a sudden, works his magic, but then they still struggle in the second half, then that's why it's a defining game. It's a defining game for Slowik.
Yeah, I think it's – and going further into some of the audio, I'll paraphrase this one. He was asked about how the staff goes into approaching this week off of what happened. He basically talked about it's one of the kind of cliches that, you know, the approach is the same. Mm-hmm. And then he was asked, and if you give this to me, Figgy, six, you haven't changed anything in your approach. Do you think you should?
I say we haven't changed big picture. There's been changes. I can assure you of that. But there's been always, you're always making subtle adjustments. I mean, you're talking through the week, you're talking in game, you're talking what we do at halftime. Like, I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things.
You know, he had said earlier, and you paraphrased it, that they haven't changed much, and then he says there it's adjustments, subtle type things. Well, then you start to get into the point of, all right, maybe it needs to be more than subtle. Maybe it needs to, if it doesn't work out. Huge game for Bobby Slowik.
Huge, huge game. Yeah. All right, so with the nerves that some people seemingly have, I do wonder how much of that is akin to this one that came in on the 5-hour Energy fan line. Micah Parsons possibly wrecking a game. I do think there's something to that because he is a elite-level mm-hmm. pass rusher, especially if Mike Zimmer actually utilizes him in like kind of the A-gap and really tries to use him to apply pressure in the middle,
yeah.
Which I don't know that how good they will be at doing that generally, but that's a dude that can move around and can blitz in those different areas. How does this offensive line deal with that when it comes to picking up the protection, and are they able to just not just get speed rushed by yeah. him, right? Like, I think that that'll be an interesting thing, but I don't know how capable he will be of just wrecking a game single-handedly, so that'll be something interesting to watch.
But you also have to, you know, point out they're going to try to find the weak spot in that line and use Micah and others to exploit that. So offensive line is still a story. Bobby Slowik in the second half is still a story. Bobby Slowik in general is part of the story. Like, because you can't emphasize enough how bad this Cowboys team is playing.
Yes.
And if it doesn't happen now, then you've got three bunnies, you know, after that in terms of your schedule. Are we going to be talking about this all the way into mid-December? Because after this, I shouldn't say three bunnies. You got Tennessee and Jacksonville in a bye.
Yeah, this is one of the three.
Yeah, this is one of the three. Then you got Miami. All of a sudden, Miami's showing a little life.
Who would have thunk? Miami having their starting quarterback would make them look a lot better.
But the point is, for me, like, if it doesn't happen now, we're going to be December 15th against Miami, wringing our hands, wondering if there's anything happening.
At some point, you have to believe what you see.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that would be ultimately the question. So this is the beginning, as you mentioned, of a run of three games that you should have opportunities to really show some things, particularly as you line up really well against a Cowboys team that is you know, floundering, that also CeeDee Lamb is questionable because he has some back issues as well, right? Like, he popped up on the injury report last week dealing with the back, and he'll ultimately go, but I mean, all these things line up in such a place where you should be able to show out, and you should also be able to answer all these questions on this low level that exists against the Cowboys. But one more thing I want to ask you. Is there any concern that you get through this game and you have to question, like, D'Amico's ability to be, like, a killer at the end of games?
I don't know, man. I would hesitate to say yes on that just because I think it's a thing with the offense. And this team, you know, early on in the season, we can't forget that they did close out some games when the offense wasn't playing well, you know. So, I mean, maybe, but I'm not quite there yet. I couldn't see that. Now, in terms of D'Amico sort of, you know, kind of shuffling aside from real criticism of players and stuff, I think people are already tired of that. And I get it. That's the way he's wired. But does that count with the play calling and the coaching staff? I mean, that's another thing. I mean, the reason I'm a little nervous, like, all of a sudden, if it doesn't happen offensively, we're going to have real discussions about so-and-so needs to be taking over the play calling. He's going to have to answer real questions. So-and-so is going to have, is so-and-so going to still, is Bobby Slowick still going to be calling plays?
Man, that feels so far outside of the realm of
possibility. It's next week.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen.
That feels so
far.
Those
are legitimate questions next week.
Better not be.
This week.
Better not be.
Forget next week. This week.
I don't like all that negativity. What I'm looking at is a bad Cowboys team and a Texas team getting back Nico Collins, the boogeyman. Like, nah, this is the time.
Yeah.
This is the time to put it up big. And maybe cover the over by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like the 41-point over. Maybe do it by your lonesome. Go ahead and put up 42 for me. How about that?
Yeah.
Right? 281. I mean, you saw what the Lions did to a bad team, right? We will be fine tonight. Rest in peace, Cowboys. I hope so. That is absolutely the way that I'm viewing it, that it should go. Those are like the maybe the nerves that are had, but I feel like that is just the neuroses of the Texans fan. But I don't know that exists in the reality of what this team is capable of. Now, of course, I've said that many times, and they've not always lived up to the capabilities, but this one just feels like it should be there. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans game day, a pre-action Monday, as I've called it. And coming up next, it's about time for us to do our lunchtime confessions.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Not literally, but figuratively speaking, I did a lot of pointing and laughing late Friday night and into Saturday morning. I know you guys saw this because it was all over. First of all, I enjoyed the Tyson and Paul fight. Maybe not like the true fight aspect of it. It was enjoyable. It was a spectacle. It was why we watch. But the thing that really made me sort of, like I said, point and laugh at the hypocrisy. How many people were out there saying, boy, if you guys watch this, boy, did you get taken, or this was an embarrassment, or it was staged, or it was a scam. Every one of those people watched it. Every one of, because all these tweets were coming in like right after the fight or late in the fight or, you know, the next morning. Boy, you know, what a scam that was. You watched it. You watched it. It was a spectacle. If you went in with the right mindset, I'm curious, like we all were, you know, maybe Mike Tyson can do something. We all thought that. Maybe we were all wrong. Time was undefeated. You know, remember I told you guys I had that pain in my hip last Thursday? I thought, that's why he's going to lose. Because it just comes out of nowhere. And he comes out in a knee brace.
It was a good point made by Joel Anderson of, I guess, now the Ringer. Mm-hmm. And he had said, like, hey, man, Mike Tyson was washed like 20 years ago as a fighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, yeah, Jake Paul is a bigger dude. He's got more reach and obviously younger. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, we might be setting ourselves for a bad thing.
But
I disagree with you on one point, though, which is, yes, it was supposed to be spectacle, but we got there and there wasn't anything to spectate, right? Like, it was.
But it was a spectacle, the event. And then all these people, I know you guys saw them, and I know our listeners saw them. Oh, yeah, I can't believe y'all fell for this. You did.
Yeah,
but you did.
There were some people that didn't. I will say there was a small selection.
See, my mindset was a little different because I knew Mike Tyson didn't have it to fight. He's 58 years old, man. So my thing was, I just didn't want him to come out looking embarrassed.
Right.
I didn't want him to get knocked down. I didn't want that to be a bad moment where it's just like, man, just stop the fight type of moment. But like, you could tell Jake Paul was kind of in it too.
Yeah.
Where he wasn't really doing nothing either.
And that's the thing is like,
they sold us that fight, man.
And this is where I have.
But we watched.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I had no problem with that. Like, I didn't want to see.
That's the problem. That's my confession. Like, all these people that I can't believe y'all did this. Yeah. It was a scam.
And I had that question
Don't
about myself.
Don't lie to me.
I had the question about myself. Is like, okay, how should I feel about this? They clearly were going a little. They weren't going as hard as they needed to. Like, Jake Paul obviously was not trying to sit that man down.
Nah.
But then at that time, like, How do I feel that I went into this knowing that there was no win for him in sitting that man down?
Mm-hmm.
And if he, like, hey, man, I saw a fight that where it felt like they did not actually go and try. But if he had tried, I don't know how I would have felt about that either, right? And actually sat that man down. And so ultimately who I am mad at is a little bit myself, but majority the Texas State Athletic Commission. Because why did you sanction this as an actual fight?
Yeah, I had an issue with – I seen a couple people bet money on this fight. I'm just like, why would you do that?
It was the most bet fight. And I saw it earlier, and I can't remember, but a long time. 67% of the money was on Tyson.
I was upset with the people act like they just got ripped off. Like, first of all, it's on Netflix. So, like, you got ripped off.
And I would still like my money back.
You got ripped off from $7.99 or whatever.
But, oh, no, it's like, more than that now.
But this ivory tower feeling that people were, especially people in the media, like, all right, you know, it was a scam. Dude, you were plugged in. Don't lie.
It was just good seeing Tyson walk out and all that stuff. Like, I kind of looked at, to me, I felt like it was a win for him just going 8 rounds for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just didn't want him to get embarrassed or fall down or just look out of it. For the simple fact, he's 58 years old and he was just sparring pretty much with Jake Paul. I felt like that was fine. I wasn't looking for 1988 Mike Tyson.
I wanted to have a moment of 1988 Mike Tyson. Just like, a split second where you were like, ooh, look.
Yeah.
There's a little bit. And then that's you're right. It was all gone.
Yeah. Watch
this. This is not a new thought that I had this weekend. It's one that I've had many a times. We were talking earlier about how Brock Bowers is a cheat code for the Raiders. His former backup at the University of Georgia, Darnell Washington, as I was watching the precursor to like the earliest part of the really fun games, we had a really fun AFC matchup in all three of the Sunday slates.
Yeah.
And in the early slate, it was Pittsburgh, Baltimore. And Darnell Washington, tight end for Pittsburgh. We shouldn't make those.
that dude is a monster.
That dude is the size of a tackle who has the speed and the elusiveness, I guess, or the movement of a tight end. And they were just hitting him over the middle, like boom. And I was like, we shouldn't make those.
He's
like,
a backup, man.
There's so many.
He was a backup.
That's right. And I think he still is because like Freiermuth is their number one tight end. I'm just like, why are there so many of these dudes that we just should not make?
No.
Like, there's just so many of these dudes in these leagues that how did we build a 7'3 shooting guard? Like, how did we build a big-ass tight end who actually looks like an offensive tackle? Like, why do we have so many of these?
This just in. That Georgia team? Good.
Was very good. which also, I guess, like sub confession is I don't know why I forgot, but I went back and looked at that 2019 LSU team, and that was just an embarrassment of talent.
Yeah.
Like they had, it was Jamar Chase, it was Justin Jefferson, and then they had another wide receiver that went to the league. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, obviously Joe Burrow, and then on defense, Patrick Queen was on there.
Oh, man.
And I'm forgetting dudes right now. Just it was an embarrassment of talent. I was like, oh my goodness.
Was Stingley on there?
Stingley was on there too. It's just a real sick behavior seeing a team like that. Those are the fun ones, going back and looking at those teams. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I got to confess, and I confessed this before on this very segment. My mama crazy, man.
Oh, no.
My mama crazy, man.
How is she crazy this time?
She got me, I want to say it was Saturday. So usually she called me and she just be talking and rambling about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I just be like, yep, Like, I have no idea what she's talking about. We be on the phone for about 45 minutes of that. Just, And she dropped in right in the middle of this. Oh, you know your uncle, he just got out the hospital. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, they say he had some trouble breathing and his arm was numb. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, man, but she said he was out. So I'm like, okay, cool. Later on that day, my sister called me like, yeah, you know, uncle, did you hear about what happened to uncle? I'm like, yeah, mommy told me he went to the hospital. They say he got prostate cancer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm like, no. Really?
And I'm like, I talked to mommy. She told me he got the hospital.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, maybe she don't know. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
So my mother called back later that night.
Yeah.
Just rambling again, rambling again. And then I dropped in like, hey, did you know Uncle had prostate cancer? Oh yeah, I knew about that. I forgot to bring it up.
What in the world?
I'm like, that's the most doggone important part to bring up.
Don't bury the lead, man.
Yeah. I'm like, she made it seem like it was nothing. I'm like, ma.
Got a little touch of the prostate cancer.
Yeah, she like that's wild. No, her response was, oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. I forgot about that.
It's not a small thing. I'm like,
all right, let me call my uncle right now then.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, I was thinking like I'll call him in a couple days. How you doing? I'm like, dang, now you left the most important part out.
Yeah.
My mother, man.
That's why. Like, that at this point, it don't even need to be a confession. Just bring us the stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to hear mama's
story. Just forgot to let you know about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I wish I could just record these conversations.
You can?
Yeah. I'm going to do it one day yeah. without her doggone consent because she don't listen. Watch this.
So one more on the Tyson Paul fight that frankly the confession is I was wrong on this because I speculate a lot of people were wrong, but I speculated, is there any way that Jake Paul could actually win here? You know, if he beats him, he loses,
like not winning the fight, but winning
win the court of public opinion, whatever you sure. want to call it, the marketing, the brand strategy or whatever. He won. No, 100%. He won. I think the combination of the reverence that he showed Mike Tyson, especially there at the end with the bow, bringing us Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano.
That was an incredible yeah. fight.
That
oh
fight wouldn't
God.
Have happened without Jake Paul. He demanded that be the fight. Yeah, I read the story. He demanded, they were originally going to plan some other fight. I don't know who it was, but he said, no. I want them on the card. It was his card. It was his
yeah,
event.
His promotion.
And his promotion. And like I said, just the way he kind of handled it beginning to end, Jake Paul won.
Yeah, I think, and see, at the very beginning when he first started doing this, mm-hmm. I felt like he was kind of being a mockery of boxing and yeah. all that stuff, but the more I've been thinking about it, I'm like, man, he did put 20, he put 20 mil in Mike Tyson's pocket, man. And it wasn't nothing where he just got his ass whooped and he just mocking Mike Tyson. He did set him up for a good nice little 20 mil and made bank off.
But also
of it.
Winning and the branding, the self whatever you want to call it. But I mean, he was a winner as he walked away.
Yeah, and look, I don't know if it's gonna be. I know a lot of boxing nerds will probably be rolling their eyes at this.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but like I think. Honestly, people in boxing probably would want to get into this. They want to get some of that money, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see other boxers trying to get in with Jake Paul so they can get that 20 mil, too.
Continuing the degradation of the sport. I do think that you probably can get this rematch of Serrano Taylor without this particular, card.
No, but not with this market, not with this that many eyes on it.
Which is fair.
I think you could get it now. I think other people will probably try to get this matchup again that's not Jake Paul.
And I think that what you're trying to get to is something that I will agree with you on and that just literally came in on the text line as I was about to say it. From the 832, Jake Paul is becoming one of the better promoters.
Yes.
In this time with his ability to sell a fight.
Yes.
Now, I really hate the co-main has to be what the co-main has to be. But I would like it if he leans into building really good fights.
Being a Dana White or something like that.
Well, not a Dana White, because you should probably pay your fighters.
Yeah, that's true. No, he actually...
A Don King?
No, he actually go out...
Again, and, you should probably pay your fighters.
And that's the other thing I appreciate about Jake Paul. He actually going out this way to make sure women get paid for their fights.
No, I'm with you. I get it was, it could have happened. The vast majority of people watching had no idea who those women were.
Right.
And now they do. And it was good for the sport.
And the people that did know, did appreciate that. Yeah. And of course, everybody got a chance to enjoy
Jake Paul,
that fight.
Got my respect, man. I didn't think that was going to happen.
I'm still held up on the fact that I think he could be a much better fighter than he gives himself an opportunity to be. But
he need to step in the ring for real.
Well, not just that, line up some good fights. Like, they don't have to be against, big-time boxers, but again, mm-hmm. that's the tough part. It's like, you're not generating, you're not going to get a chance to generate all that money. But, if he treats the discipline with the level of respect that it feels like it deserves, mm-hmm. That's the tough part. You're right. He's making these people money. He's creating a showcase for people that deserve it. Mm-hmm. But it feels like he's also doing that while making a mockery of, what the sport has been. And that feels like something where it's like, is that worth the balance?
Is that worth the squeeze?
I don't know.
Not as many people watch. If he doesn't do that.
But see, it seemed like this time wasn't as much of a mockery as it been in the past. Because I agree, in the past, I'm like, what is this YouTuber doing?
He fought a 58-year-old man.
Yeah. No, I get it. But if he didn't do that, the sport wouldn't have benefited.
Yeah. I think
it's almost like the balance you got to get.
And I think the way he did it, it kind of made me respect him a little more, because if he would have just got in there whoop his ass and bragging and all that stuff, it's just like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But you could tell they had some type of agreement, like, no knockdowns. Let's just get this money.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got it, fam. Y'all get it.
You ain't buying in?
I'm not buying in, but I can respect the things that he has done that have been helpful. to.
I came
to
around to it. I was on board with you. I came around to it, though.
Yeah.
I'm not getting there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Those are our confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Coming up next, let's go around the AFC South, which saw a beatdown involved in it. We'll talk about that more next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. It's a pre-action Monday as we're getting ready for Texans Cowboys to finish off week 11 and hopefully give the Texans their seventh win of the season and hopefully also give them a return to the two-game lead that they should have in the AFC South as we go around the AFC South. All three teams playing yesterday and getting their jobs or doing what they were supposed to do, or at least playing the football game.
Yeah. Maybe not what they were supposed to do.
No, maybe not what you're supposed to. As soon as I said that, I was like, well.
Yeah.
I mean, I was about to say, it didn't even work from any perspective because they didn't even do what they were supposed to do in regards to for the Texans. So we'll go around the AFC South. And as always, it is a choose your own adventure type of deal. So, fellas, where we going?
Ooh. That's a good one.
Hey, let's go see a dead body.
Okay.
Go to Jacksonville.
You ever seen a dead body?
Yep. We go to Everbank Field in Jacksonville where the Detroit Lions faced off against the Jags, and they did that thing that Dan Campbell likes doing, which is beating teams to a pulp. 52-6 was the score, and before we go any further, yes, friend, that is a scoregami, baby. Man.
I saw it this morning. I'm like, he's going to know this, isn't he?
It is a scoregami, the 1,088th original final score in NFL history, if you did not want to know what a scoregami is. So never before in NFL history has a game ended 52-6, because not often do people score 52 points. But there you go, Detroit Lions doing exactly that. The 46-point loss is the Jaguars' worst loss in franchise history, which passed a 44-point loss in 1995 to the Detroit Lions.
All right.
I'm just glad we ain't get the Bears like that, man.
No.
Not at all.
I mean, it was still embarrassing the way the Texans lost.
Yeah, the way they lost. But, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Texans fans that looked at the way that this game went with the Jaguars getting absolutely demolished and said that it gave them a little bit more perspective on that particular game against Detroit. Mm-hmm. What say you?
Not really. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not really because I mean, first of all, the Jaguars are just awful. They're probably going to fire their coach.
2-9.
What time is it? Hell, they might fire him today.
That's a good point. I should be
talking about Bill Belichick taking over. I'm sure you saw that.
That is one of the notes here.
Yeah.
As apparently, in fact, can we go to Mike Florio here? Florio of Pro Football Talk. He works with NBC and all that, and so he was on Sunday Night Football, and he gave this report about Trent Baalke, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here in Jacksonville. Well, Maria, before the season started, team owner Shad Khan said, "This is the best team the Jaguars have ever assembled. Let's prove it by winning now." So here we are, 2-9. Worst loss today in franchise history. Bye week coming up. Doug Peterson was asked after the game about the possibility of being fired. He said, "If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And it could happen soon." Now, what about the guy that put together the best team ever assembled, general manager Trent Baalke? I've talked to several people throughout the league, and there's a belief in some circles he could potentially survive into next year as part of a package deal that would reunite him with someone he worked with back in 1998, 1999 with the New York Jets. That coach is available. He's won a few Super Bowls. His name is Bill Belichick.
Oh, you don't say.
How is that GM surviving all of this, man?
Exactly.
He clearly.
Goodness
it's gracious, very, it's man. Very obvious. He has compromising material on people in this league. That's the only way.
Gotta have naked pictures of somebody in that organization.
Correct.
I mean, something.
Goodness,
man.
There is no way that he should survive.
No way.
Don't forget, being the dude who hired Urban Meyer.
Well, I was just going to say
look
that.
At the product he drafted. He drafted a lot of... Oh, my goodness,
you was about
man.
To say BS, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. I was.
Gotta confess.
Trayvon Walker? Over Aiden Hutchinson,
which that one looks awful. Even though Trayvon Walker has started to come into his own,
that ain't good enough, man.
Yeah, number one overall, you gotta have brother, you gotta hit a home run.
Contract to Trevor Lawrence, drafting Walker, and to me, you just
hired Urban Meyer, and that's just
Urban
there.
Meyer.
Don't forget, he got on his CV that he was the one that couldn't get along with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
In San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And when that thing fell off. And then San Francisco, lucky enough, they weren't in the wilderness that long. They had Jim Tom Sula for a year, Chip Kelly, and they circled around Kyle Shanahan. But yeah, man, Trent Baalke could be out here messing up.
Man.
And yet he might have the opportunity to still stick around.
He might get a contract extension.
He's got a lot of job responsibilities, but his number one job in his view is, how do I protect me?
And apparently he's been doing a good job. Yeah. Although the Jaguars didn't do a good job of very much of anything. They've lost four consecutive games for the second time this season. Mm-hmm. And they are 14 of their last 17 dating back to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not very good. But Cam Little opened and closed the first half with field goals, and that was all the scoring.
That was
it. Detroit did the entirety of the rest, including 161 yards for Amon-Ra St. Brown, 124 for Jameson Williams. Five different Lions players scored touchdowns. A couple of them scored two of them, as there were seven offensive touchdowns. And this is the most fun stat for me on the night. The Lions picked up 38 first downs in this game.
That's a lot of first downs.
Man, 30. They was wearing their boys' ass out. They was wearing them out, brother.
And so, they will run it up on your ass. We knew that already, but and I love when Dan Campbell gets asked about it. Like, hey, you know, we're just trying to play and worried about ourselves. And he's right.
I don't know what he was supposed to do. Mac Jones is not a good quarterback. McCorkle Jones and Trevor Lawrence and Tank Bigsby missed this game. Mm-hmm. Like, that's two of your better players. Like, I don't know what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Coming up next, as you heard Mike Florio say, they have a bye week and then they face off against the Houston Texans in week 12, December 1st at NRG Stadium. Ooh, boy, it's going to be bad for them.
It is going to be ugly.
That is 2-9 Jacksonville Jaguars after losing to the Lions. All right, the teams that did not have nearly as bad of a day, of those two teams, where do we want to go next?
I thought the Titans were interesting.
Yeah, the Titans now.
Vikings undefeated against the AFC South.
Yeah, they ran through it. 2-8 are the Titans now after they lost to the Minnesota Vikings 23-13. The Titans were penalized a whopping 13 times for 91 yards. Mm-hmm. That's not going to do it when you're the worst team in a situation. You got to play a lot more clean football, but there's absolutely clean football was not to be found for the Titans. Will Levis was sacked all of five times. And even when he got the ball away, he had pressure in his face consistently.
And the Titans are just, I mean, this division, we know that. We've known it for a while. Just an absolute mess. We say that about a lot of teams down here. But, hey, Sam Darnold, nice little bounce back game
he
for
needed
him.
It so badly, man. Right? Like, it was starting to look like, ooh, is the carriage turning back into a pumpkin? And the answer is not quite, but they probably need to make sure to maybe, I don't know that O'Connell can be as open with the offense as he previously wanted to be with Sam Darnold. You might need to be a little bit more cognizant of what's happening there. Shout out to Cam Akers, who scored a touchdown for the Minnesota Vikings in the course.
It's Lopez boy right there.
That's his man. That's your man.
Miss you, Cam.
That's your man.
That's your man. But yeah, the Titans lost. There was one player who had a good night, which was Westbrook Ikhine. We had two catches for 117 yards, and one of those was just a 98-yard play down the sideline.
Two catches, 117.
That was the one.
Think about that.
The one touchdown that they had was just a big old play down the sideline. Yeah. And that, other than that, woeful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, their next game is in Houston.
How about that?
Versus the Texans. Actually, I said that the
after their bye week, the Jags are coming here, but next week it's the Titans.
No, I think the Jags is in Jacksonville, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but they face the Jaguars.
So the Titans are coming here. I started looking at the ats and verses in the wrong way, but the Tennessee Titans next week will be here in Houston. So a couple of the teams are waiting for their beatdown by the Texans. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the AFC South. And we roll around to the other team for the AFC South, which is the Indianapolis Colts, who are now 5-6 after a win versus the New York Jets, 28-27, a tight one that brings the AFC South lead for your Texans down to one single game. The Colts focused on running the football, had 35 running attempts, 10 of those from Anthony Richardson as he returned to starting. And the Colts scored three touchdowns in their four red zone trips, which shows a level of progress in what they're doing there.
And Anthony Richardson, relatively sharp.
Yes.
Sharper than he's been. And so, we'll see. You know, I mean, he's been prone to have a game like this, and it was against a Jets team that has, got their own problems.
Definitely had their problems. But, I mean, they looked
But he got it done.
They looked pretty solid. They were down 24-16, and Anthony Richardson had a touchdown drive, completing 5 of 7 passes for 69 yards, which is nice. And then the Colts defense stepped up, And then Anthony Richardson got the ball again, and they went and got a second consecutive touchdown drive, including him using his legs. Like, that is something that we would not have imagined from Anthony Richardson prior to his benching, and definitely not in those first four games last season. Like, maybe, just maybe, the benching ended up working in his
I mean, at least maybe, you know, in the short term here, you know, and we talked about it last week, he said, I'm kind of glad, actually, low-key glad. I don't think he was, but he still might have benefited from it, and there's a lot still to go with Anthony Richardson, because that's the Jets. I know their defense has been okay, but there's a long way to go for Anthony Richardson before anybody really hops
there
on,
is, you know? And it does. It's also worth noting and circling back to the fact that they ran the football a lot.
That's a key thing.
It feels like, and I forgot the coach's name as soon as I went to say it. What's my guy's name in Indy again? Shane Steichen. There we go. It came back. Shane Steichen has done a little bit of a calculating after going, all right, Anthony Richardson, all right, let's try Joe Flacco. And he was like, okay, so throwing a football might not be something that we could do in a large quantity. We might need to just go ahead and lean on Jonathan Taylor, Anthony Richardson, and the running ability that they display, which, yeah, makes sense. Shout out to Quiddy Pay of the Colts, though. Six tackles, two sacks, including the one that ended the game for the Colts. I wish he wouldn't have done that, because that would have absolutely helped the Texans maintain that lead. But they can get that lead back in this game when they play the Cowboys tonight on Monday Night Football. By the way, next game for the Colts, they welcome in the Detroit Lions next week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how we look at the Detroit Lions.
They
like
the boogeyman
now.
They just walking around this beating people's asses, man.
They're putting 40 and 50 up.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
They are just bullying the rest of the league. They walking around like, who won it? Who won it next? They
man,
are,
that one run that
who else wants some of Debo?
That's exactly what they Debo. That's it. Thank you for bringing that. They are Debo now. That is crazy, because the Detroit, like, would you imagine that 5 years ago, that the Detroit Lions would be walking around the league taking people's chains?
This chest
they,
out.
They looking better than they did with Matt Stafford, man.
Oh, absolutely. Which is why
the city of Detroit's like, screw Matt Stafford.
Well, we got Jared not saying
Goff.
That.
Yeah, that's why they be out here chanting Jared Goff in a pop of those and stuff.
They weren't chanting Matt Stafford name.
Yeah. That one run that Gibbs had yesterday was just, how do you run that fast? How do you do that?
With the conviction of a team that knows that they are putting it on.
Hey, that's the joy of having two running backs like that, man.
Yeah, and that's impressive. Why it's great that Dameon Pierce is back, right?
Hey, let's go.
Ain't I right? Back. Yeah. Right, fellas?
Let's go.
Yeah?
Upward inflection, let's go.
We're going to be looking like the Detroit Lions.
We love you, Dameon. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get to it, fellas. Football is coming this evening. It's just after the 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610. The Texans will face off against the Cowboys. Let's talk about the things that will determine whether or not the Texans win. You guys let us know as well on the 5 Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Texans win because? Texans lose because? Let us know. We'll talk about it next.